Good morning. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, as it has been for the past few weeks and will continue throughout Easter. This is a story that some, I think, are very familiar with. And actually, I am including the end of the story that goes beyond what you have in your bulletin, a few crucial verses that need to complete the story. So open up your hearts and your ears and your minds to this portion of God's word to us. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past week, for whatever reason, I was remembering that when I was doing my Doctor of Ministry work way back when, my advisor once told me, "Never say that you are busy. Everybody is busy. Busy is pedestrian." That's one of his favorite words. "Just be scheduled and get your work done." Well, I've thought about that advice over the years, and it comes into play today. Importantly, today's story reminds us that Jesus is never too busy nor too overscheduled to be interrupted by any of us. Mark's gospel immediately begins with action and drama. There are no stories of Jesus' birth or childhood, just accounts of Jesus' grown-up and powerful ministry. We're told that such great crowds followed Jesus that he told his disciples to have a boat ready so the people wouldn't crush him. Mark writes in a style that makes the reader part of this crowd, following Jesus in events that just keep getting more and more amazing. The next person who arrives on the scene is Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue. He begs Jesus to come to his home to heal his young daughter who is dying. What you need to know to appreciate this is that the local religious leadership has already taken a public position on Jesus, calling him a fake Messiah. That means it's now supposed to be Jairus' job to keep the crowds away from Jesus. If Jairus is ever going to leave the small country synagogue in Galilee that he served and make it to the tall steeples of Jerusalem, the last thing that he should be doing is inviting Jesus and the crowd to come to his home for a healing service. But when your daughter is dying, you don't think much about career moves. Every time his little girl holds out her arms and says, "Daddy, it hurts," her dad just about comes apart. He'll do just about anything to make it better, and so will Jesus, who now heads off to her home. So it looks like this is the next amazing thing that the crowd is waiting to see. Jesus is going to win over the religious establishment by healing the daughter of a leader of the synagogue. But suddenly, immediately, the drama is interrupted. The next line in the story states, "Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years." This comment seems slightly out of place. Jesus is on the move and about to do the next amazing thing. The crowds are with him, and he's just received an invitation to go home with the biggest cheese in town. But an ordinary woman who is sick with a chronic illness interrupts him. Mark tells us she endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, I know those of you in the medical community would prefer to read this story as it's told in the Gospel of Dr. Luke, who omits the part about suffering under many physicians and growing worse. But Mark makes it clear that this woman has suffered and has exhausted all her resources. She has done everything she can. Maybe she appealed not only to the physicians, but also to Jairus and asked him to pray for her as well. So now she's out of money, out of expert advice, out of hope, and the hemorrhaging continues. Now, I think that Mark puts this story in the middle of the larger account about Jairus because Mark is more interested in the people in the crowd than the next big event. He puts a magnifying glass up to this crowd to focus our attention on just one chronically sick, nameless woman who could be any of us. He does that, I think, because every one of us is, and maybe all of us collectively are, well, in some way or another, hemorrhaging. Maybe you're struggling with a disease or a problem or something that just won't go away. You've exhausted your patience, if not your insurance. You're not exactly dying, but it doesn't feel like you are fully alive. You're, well, just getting by. Some among us are bleeding from broken hearts or broken relationships or dreams that have broken apart, and maybe our country too. Still others have a chronic problem with guilt or with gnawing anxiety about the future. We've tried everything we know to do. We've tried ignoring our problems, bucking up and pretending that it doesn't hurt. We've tried all the experts. We've tried running away from our hurts, throwing ourselves into hard work or anything else that will distract us. But eventually, we start to think that we will always have this problem because we are no better, but rather grow worse, like the suffering woman. Then we hear about this Jesus who can do amazing things. So we join the crowd at church on a Sunday morning. As Mark tells the story, most of us in the crowd are pushing to get as close to Jesus as we can because we've already set our goals for life, and we are here just to see if Jesus can help. Maybe he'll fix my problems. Maybe he'll give me back my dreams. Yeah, I'll take a little Jesus. What can it hurt? But the woman who was suffering did not grab at Jesus. She was modest. She was very polite. In her humility, she was afraid for him even to see her. So she just reached out her hand and touched the hem of his robe as he walked by. And immediately, she was healed. All of a sudden, Jesus stops the parade. He looks at his disciples and asks, "Who touched me?" His disciples must have thought that he was kidding. "Who touched you, Jesus? Half of Galilee is trying to get their hands on you, and you want to know who touched you?" Clearly, their concern was for Jesus to keep on his way to Jairus' house because this would be a big deal for the movement. Similarly, we keep trying to push Jesus along to fix things, to fix the Middle East, to fix Baltimore, to fix our politics, to fix our grumpy neighbor. I'm sure that Jairus was thinking that the biggest deal was his own daughter at home. "Jesus, sir," he must have wanted to say, "this woman is not on your schedule today. Tell her to make an appointment. Please, hurry." But Jesus doesn't hurry. Craig Barnes always says this, and I see how it fits. Jesus doesn't hurry. In all four of the Gospels, Jesus does not run once. He doesn't even jog. Now, this drives me nuts because I try to work through my schedule all the time and can barely keep up, and I figure that Jesus should be able to keep up with me. But, and here requires a real shift in our thinking, the real question for anyone who wants to follow Jesus is not how fast can we go, but rather, are we as interruptible as Jesus? The ruler of the synagogue and the people in the crowd will have to wait. Jesus will eventually get to the synagogue leader's home, and he will heal his daughter. But first, he interrupts his own agenda. Jesus knows who has the faith not to try to grab at what they want, but to touch him gently, as one does when laying hands on holiness. That's how you get Jesus' attention, not to seize or to grasp, but to honor the one who is the source of healing. It is not all wrong to want something from Jesus. Both the pushy crowd and the sick woman wanted something from him, but only the woman approached Jesus with hope and humility. You can grab a pair of shoes on sale online, or grab a bite to eat, or work like a dog until you get a promotion or an academic degree, but you cannot simply take the things that you need most in life. You can't just grab healing or forgiveness or hope or love. These gifts come only through humility. Next, we're told, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth." Now, how long has it been since you found someone to whom you could tell the whole truth? The whole truth is not just about our hurt, but that we really don't know where to turn next to get better. The whole truth is not just that we have been looking in the wrong places, but like this woman, we are spent and are tired of trying to grab at what only Jesus can give. The good news in all of this is that if you are ready to acknowledge these things, then you are also ready to reach out to Jesus, who wants to be interrupted by you. "Daughter, your faith has made you well," Jesus says. "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So Mark was right. Jesus' many miracles and crowd-drawing ministry were leading up to a spectacular event. But that amazing event was not what was about to happen in Jairus' house. Once Jesus got there, he threw out the crowd and healed the little girl in private. No, the big, amazing event was when Jesus stopped everything to care for one person along the way, the one who didn't seem to matter. Once that you see that Jesus will stop his messianic mission to save your chronically broken life, it changes how you see everything else. You may even lose interest in grabbing for what you want, because after you've encountered the Savior, you're too busy with gratitude to want more, and you'll have the time to stop and to care for another. Even if you don't receive exactly what you've wanted, encountering the holy God who is with us will begin to heal your soul. And this will leave you tender like Jesus, so tender that you will notice when someone from our hemorrhaging world tries to reach out and touch you. and you in kind will care. On the journeys through life, the best things are not those on your schedule. No, the best things may be the holy interruptions that come along the way. Amen.